Reading out of John chapter 5, verse 1 through 9, it says, afterwards, Jesus returned to Jerusalem. For one of the Jews' holy days. Inside the city, near the sheep gate, was the sheep gate pool was Bethesda, whatever. I don't know that word. I ain't gonna lie to you. With 5 covered porch. Okay, the crowd of sick people, blind, lame, and paralyzed, laying on a mat. Like I said, on the porch, I don't know. One of the men lying there, had been there for 38 years. When Jesus saw him and knew that he'd been ill for so long a time, he asked him, would you like to be, get well? He said, so I can't, sir. I can't, sir. The sick man said, for I have no one to put me in the pool. When the water was stirred up, someone else always get them ahead of us. Jesus said to him, stand up, pick up your mat, and walk. Instantly, the man was healed. Amen to that. He rolled up his sleeping mat and began walking. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I needed that.
It's time for our Roots kids to be dismissed to their special time of worship and learning. So if you are age 3 through 3rd grade, then you can be escorted out to the side for their worship. Be to our God forever and ever.
Thank you so much, Jesse. Good morning. I'm going to have to pick this up because I'm going to move. It has been fun to sit over in this part of the church because I kind of sit at the front and I can look back on everyone. And I remember several weeks ago when Steve introduced this series that we were going to be walking through, and I saw so many of your faces light up. I know from personal conversations and then just observing from some of y'all that John is a special gospel to many of us in here. And it has been an honor and a privilege and very exciting to delve into these passages that we are going to talk about today, because I believe God has a word for us today, specifically in this series, this sermon series that Steve has created. And so in this scripture that Jesse so beautifully communicated to us, we have this man who has been lame, paralyzed, crippled, have some sort of ailment for the last 30 years. And I believe these verses really fit in to God and the neighborhood, watermarks, table mates, and the cemetery plots in the Gospel of John. These verses encompass all of those things. One, very specifically, we have a pool that is surrounded by people, a very distinct watermark that we are going to talk about this morning. Two, in some of the translations that you read, the table mates, John talks a lot about feasts. In some of the translations that you read, Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem in this first verse for a feast. In fact, John talks about feasts, eating around tables, 17 times throughout his Gospels. Matthew, Mark, and Luke only talk about it 2 to 3 times within their Gospels. So for John, feasts, eatings, these were important to him, or he viewed those as important. And then cemetery plots. This one may be a stretch. But I envision this watermark, this pool, Jesus on his way to this feast in Jerusalem, and all of these people lying around a pool, maybe one or two steps from their own cemetery plot. They had been there a while. They were sick. They were not well. They were not accepted into society. They were marginalized. And they were desperate to be different. And that is what we are going to talk about this morning. And in a very powerful way, Jesus walked right into the middle of their neighborhood and turned everything on its head. Will you pray with me? Father God, I pray that you pour the gift of preaching through me. May all the minds and hearts and ears be open to what you have to give us this morning. And may your spirit rest thick on each individual sitting in this place. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Okay, like I said, this begins with Jesus going into Jerusalem for a feast. And we come upon this pool that has five different sections sitting around it. I kind of envision a large swimming pool in my head with five different concrete slabs laying out. And there is a neighborhood of people lying on these concrete slabs in various forms of health. The lame, the blind, the invalid, people who are not well. I also take a lot of assumptions when I read this and a lot of the commentaries that I did too of what ailments these people had, maybe from to colds, not feeling very well, all the way down to very sick or carrying something with them for several years, which is one of the main characters within this story, this man who had been lying on this mat around this pool for 38 years. I'm 36, so that is longer than I've been alive. And that is a very long time, I think. 38 years laying by this pool. And he's in company of other people who do not feel well either, who have ailments themselves. And if you get into the nitty-gritty of some of these translations and some of the commentary, there's a debate around the water and what happens within this water. The version that we read this morning does not talk about this next part, but some of your Bibles and some of your translations have footnotes that talk about this next part. And so all of these people are gathered around water for a very specific reason. That myth or tradition or because it is real, whenever this water is stirred, ripples appear, the first person who can throw themselves into the pool will be healed. Will no longer have what has been making them ill and sick. Now, I think about people who are laying around this pool who may have a cold or who don't feel well or who've had some sort of long-term illness but still can function in daily life. All the way down to people like our character in this who probably can't move very well. And so still, in this neighborhood of invalids, you still have a hierarchy of people who are going to be able to get into the water first. And this man, as we come to know, has been waiting a very long time and has had opportunity after opportunity after opportunity pass him. Because tradition says that an angel will come down and stir the water and a healing will be given to the person who can get into the pool first. And so Jesus appears, he's coming to Jerusalem, and he happens upon, or very purposefully, or walks by this pool and sees this neighborhood, and he walks right on in. And one of my favorite parts about this whole story is that this man did absolutely nothing. He was sitting there, lying on his mat. And Jesus learned of his story, or the information came to him that he had been here 38 long years waiting to get into the pool. And he comes up to this man. I kind of assume that Jesus just kind of walked into the back. He didn't kind of come in and proclaim. There wasn't probably a lot of buzz around him walking into this place. And he comes up to this man And he asked this very specific question. Would you like to be made well? And the man does not proclaim yes. He does not look at Jesus and say, well, duh. He actually answers with kind of a complaint. Well, you see, I've been here a very long time. And the water, when it ripples, I can't get in it first. Jesus doesn't really even acknowledge that. He just looks at the man and he says, stand up, pick up your mat and walk. There are so many things about that sentence that are miraculous. Things that this man has never been able to do. Stand up, bend down, pick up the bedding that he had been laying on and walk. And one of the most beautiful parts of this story is he is nothing more than a receiver. So many of the healing stories within the gospel have people who are seeking Jesus out, who are running after him, who are sending family members to seek him, to come to their house, to heal their children, to raise people up from the dead, to lay his hands on him, to touch his clothes, because if I can get close enough, maybe that will seep onto me. This man did nothing of the sort. And in fact, if you read on in the verses to follow, he didn't even know who healed him. And then, as Jesus does a lot of things he's not supposed to do, he did this on the Sabbath. Which, as we know, and as a lot of the other stories tells us, and stories that Jesus has gotten in trouble for in the past, is healing on the Sabbath is work. And you aren't supposed to work on the Sabbath. Also, apparently, carrying your mat is also work on the Sabbath. And this is not something that you were supposed to be doing. So this man, who has had his whole life turned upside down by one question that he did not even answer, reaches down, picks up his mat, and is just doing what Jesus says. I kind of imagine him kind of walking out a little bit dazed of like, well, now what do I do? And so he's walking through, and one of the religious leaders comes up to him and is like, well, you're carrying your mat, and this is work, and you were not supposed to be doing this on the Sabbath. And instead of, like, telling him what happened, he looks at him and says, well, this guy told me to do this. In fact, I couldn't walk a couple minutes ago. And the guy asks him who heals him, and he's like, I don't even know. I cannot think of a story that drips with more grace. He did nothing. He didn't even know who healed him. Jesus seeked him out. Healing is for everyone. Everyone, regardless of your station in life. Do you want to be well? The more that I sat in this story, I wonder if this other part took place internally within this man. That this man that he doesn't know walks up to him and asks him a very bizarre question. Do you want to be made well? And everything inside this man screamed, yes, absolutely I want to be made well. What do you think I have been doing the last 38 years? And I also believe that that question had to have been terrifying. Do you want to be made well? Because as much as that lifestyle may not have been what he picked, may not have been what he wanted, and he was obviously laying there because he wanted to have something different happen to his body, what he knew was about to be turned on its head. And everything that he was comfortable with and he knew how to survive in was about to change. Do you want to be made well? I do a lot of pretty amazing things in my office as a counseling therapist. I sit with very resilient people who are working through imaginable circumstances. I sit as I watch human resilience come to life and move past addiction and trauma and mental illness. And it is one of my greatest honors, journeying with people where God is already moving in their life. There's also a group of people that will seek me out and come in that aren't necessarily dealing with severe mental illness or addiction or trauma in their past, but that they have made really hard decisions that have led them to very hard places within their life. And they come in very broken and low and in the pit and look at me and say, I have got to do something different. I cannot live like this anymore. And we will spend a couple sessions talking about how they got to this spot, family of origin, decisions they've made, engaging in their life story. And sometimes I get to ask this question. After a couple sessions, I will look at them and say, do you need me to continue to hold space with you in this, or are you ready for a solution? Because I can sit and hold space and wrestle with until you are ready to move forward. But when are you going to be ready for a solution? And that is scary. Because that means a different path emerges. Different choices are going to be made. Different ways of living are going to be engaged in. No's are going to be said, and the yeses are going to be hard. Do you want to be well? And so I think this question has significant meaning for this man, because if he says yes, everything that he is comfortable, even though it may not be ideal, he knows how to do. Do you want to be made well? Because as we can see, as we journey further into this, Jesus doesn't obey the rules, and he is coming to make everything new, regardless of where you are. He sees the people who are running after him, and he sees the people who have no idea who he is. Amen to that. Jesus is for everyone, and he comes for everyone. Do you want to be made well? Because if the answer is yes to that question, everything that you know is going to be changed. And what was top is going to be changed to the bottom. And I think this story displays that very beautifully. Do you want to be made well? Let's think about that question, take that question in as we come and sing. Please stand.
How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond